Now, all this week, Five Lives political reporter Chris Mason will be travelling the UK and asking some of the big questions about Scottish independence. Later in the week, he'll be in Scotland, but for today, he's in Guernsey for us. Chris, what's Guernsey got to do with Scottish independence?
It's a good question, that, isn't it? How on earth have I ended up just about as far away from the Scottish border as you can get while still being in the British Isles?
Well, you're a smart person, that's why, Chris.
or just someone with a poor sense of direction, maybe, I don't know. But it's to try and explore the peculiar constitutional relationship that this place has, and indeed Jersey and the Isle of Man have, with the UK. Technically, they're not actually in the United Kingdom, they're British Crown dependencies. And what that means is that they are pretty much independent. They run their own schools, they run their own hospital, they run their own tax system, crucially, hence the number of international banks that are here. But defence and foreign affairs is run out of London. And so what you have is a model that isn't that far away from this horrible phrase, Devo Max, that we've heard Alex Salmond and others in the Scottish National Party talking about. Some sort of halfway house between devolution as it stands now and outright independence.
So what exactly can be learnt from the people of Guernsey, Chris?
Well, people here have a curious relationship with the UK. There's an acknowledgement that there's a social bind between this island and the UK. It's, if you like, a moon orbiting the planet that is the UK. And yet at the same time, there's a huge amount of pride attached to that sense of independence, that sense that they run their own affairs here. So here are a few perspectives from the streets of the capital, St Peterport, about whether Scotland should be tempted to tweak its relationship with the rest of the UK.
Hello, I'm Susan. They're playing a very difficult game there. I think they should carry on like they are. I think they've got funny ideas and I don't agree with it.
My name's Jim Harley. I'm an accountant. Slightly different situation. Obviously, the links with the Crown are much greater in Scotland than they are in Guernsey. But it's certainly the model that's pursued in the Channel Islands is something that perhaps Scotland could have a look at.
Sally Chammings, just a housewife. I mean, if you look at the map, they're joined to Britain, aren't they? You know, is every other little bit going to try and cut themselves off as well? No, I think they should stay where they are. They joined to Britain, stay there.
So obviously some experience of this in Guernsey, Chris. Has there been any advice from the senior politicians there?
Yes, there has, and it's interesting speaking to senior politicians here, a number of whom have privately told me that when they've been meeting it in fora like the British Irish Council, where leaders from all around the British Isles get together, in fact there was a meeting of that organisation in Dublin last week, privately they are asked by members of the SNP, go on then, how do you make this work? How does your relationship work with London? How often are they on the phone? So there's clearly intrigue in Edinburgh about how this works. I've been chatting to Charles Parkinson, who is the Treasury Minister here, and I put it to him specifically in economic terms, what lessons could Scotland learn from Guernsey's experience?
Well, I think Scotland needs to think very carefully about the risks involved in remaining in a monetary union with England and Wales, but acquiring fiscal sovereignty. Because if Scotland's economy proves to be less productive than that of England and Wales, and there's no mechanism for fiscal transfers from England and Wales to Scotland, Scotland could be in a very uncomfortable position, as indeed are some of the weaker economies in the Eurozone today.
So Scotland would be the Greece to England's Germany?
Well, there is that danger. I'm sure Alex would say that Scotland will be every bit as productive and successful as England and Wales. But, you know, historically, the strongest part of the United Kingdom economy has been the southeast of England, particularly London. And clearly there have been substantial fiscal transfers from the southeast of England to other parts of England and Wales, as well as to Scotland. And the question really is, what would the situation be if those transfers were no longer being made? Would Scotland really be in a very good position?
Well, Chris, we'll be back later on in the programme. He's going to be with someone who can explain exactly how the island's government works with the rest of the UK.